Welcome to Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
When you want your local football news, you come here to Beyond the Boundary. Recorded every Wednesday from the studios of K-Rock 955. Tom King in the host chair, and alongside me, a very good afternoon to co-pilot Jason Doherty. Jase, welcome back.
Oh, that was a bit formal, wasn't it? Yeah. That start, I love that. Yes, thank you to be back. And yes, I was in Tasmania last week. So Hoodie, I heard great things about him. So you know what they say. Yeah. Never leave. Never go away.
Never take a holiday in radio.
But finally, I'm back for another week, so here we go.
Talking about people who went away.
Who went away?
Well, the co-coach of St Mary's wasn't down at Colac last week.
The co-coach of St Mary's?
Luke Rayner.
Where was he?
He was on some little junket.
Really?
At the Stradbroke.
Really?
Yeah.
Geez, that's all right for some, isn't it? I believe the assistant coach at South Barn was away too, playing football.
Did you know that? Which one?
Mr. Marsh.
Was he?
Over in Bali.
Ah, right.
With the geckos.
With Ricky Olerenshaw.
He would play against him. Right. My brother-in-law actually played on the same team as Rick.
So, Luke Rayner.
Luke Rayner was away.
He was at the Stradbroke, I believe, as a guest of a betting company that sounds like Stradbroke.
Oh, there you go. Imagine that.
Who might sponsor the Geelong Cup?
Oh, does he have something to do with the Geelong Cup too?
Yes.
Right. Oh, this is amazing. So the Geelong Racing Club. Sporting everywhere.
So yeah.
Lucky they got co-coaches.
So well done on that little trip.
Oh, the old junkette.
Good work for some. Yes. We've had a couple of coach re-signings.
Yes, I saw that. Sakes.
James Saker.
Two more years.
Well done. And Ben Carmichael, 2 more years. At Drysdale. Jake Mawson is, I believe that's just a case of dotting I's and crossing T's.
Oh, that's good.
On another year at Anarchy. So that's great stability.
Absolutely.
What about them sitting?
Well, they're going to play finals.
So they are inside.
They're on fire.
Records aren't great, but my understanding is really? That they are inside the top five at the halfway for the first time since they last played finals in 98.
Yes. Well, it's a good spot to be in a very even and close competition, so that's good.
The win over the Bell Post Hill was their first since 2008.
Well, they've been a tough nut to crack, the Panthers.
But the records actually show, so the grand final record that year shows that they lost 32-28, but the actual newspaper clipping shows 92-88 in Anarchy's favour. So I had it as them not beating them since 98, but the president was very quick to send me the newspaper clipping to say, incorrect, can you just tidy it up?
So well, there you go, hence we've tidied it up.
What about the interesting travel buddies? For Werribee on
the
weekend.
Yes. How wasn't that funny? Ben Kellett and Liam Kershaw. How funny is that?
So they were emergencies
for
Werribee. They played Geelong at 11:35 on Saturday morning. Both went up. I believe both got strapped.
Yes, they were ready to go.
And then they both got in Ben's car and came back to play against each other.
And there was a little bit of mouthy-mouthy against each other right here, which is good. That's a nice playful fun.
So South Barwon and St. Joey's. Jaden McHenry. Hole in one on Sunday, the Queenscliff recruit.
Really?
So, of course, Leopold Premiership
Where
player.
At?
13th.
Oh, good work. Well done.
So,
good.
Leopold Premiership player in 2016, some time at Ocean Grove, and back to footy playing with his brother Ryson at the Cooters. It's Coragulac Day this week for Colac.
Is it?
Yes.
Back to the glory days.
Of the Hawks.
Nice.
So, Colac in Newtown and Chilwell. A man who won't be playing is Seb Ross, who's suffered another hamstring. Same string.
That's not good.
Results of a scan to determine how long, but he has told. So this is very interesting. Cooper Hayes plays for Colac. Cooper Hayes is also a journalist at the Colac Herald.
He is.
Story about Seb Ross written by?
Cooper Hayes. Well, you hope so. He's right there. You'd hope so.
That is the ultimate finger on the pulse.
That is literally you are part of the story. Yeah. I love it.
So, but he has told the Colac Herald that he expects this one to be longer than the last one, which was 3 weeks.
He just needs a couple of games before the finals, doesn't he?
Yeah, which is when Darcy Lang will... He'll get a couple of mid-season games in with the APS break.
After this Saturday.
For 3 weeks.
Correct, three games.
And then,
another 3 weeks off, and then back into it.
Yes. And so he actually might be in fine fettle come finals.
You know what, for a player like that, probably perfect, I would suspect.
Did you have Colac in Newtown on your bingo card as one of the biggest games of the year?
Not really. No. Newtown definitely have been probably the watch and have improved immensely.
On a serious note, Drysdale and Queenscliff this week is for the Hand Up Cup, which is shining a light on mental health. Both clubs impacted either side of COVID. Yes. Actually before COVID, with the deaths of Ryan Gatkins and Lucas Niven.
Yep.
I still see Lucas's dad, Chris, a bit. Loves his golf.
Yes.
Was a good Bendigo bank man.
He was. Read the play.
Yes.
Board member as well.
So yes. Good fella. And the Gatkins family are lovely people.
And those clubs do a great job.
Yep.
Not just this week, but across the year with that sort of stuff. Marcus Seacamp at Queenscliff, and I know, you know, the Golf Days and bits and pieces, they've always had at Drysdale. So great work by them.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Lots of injuries at the Belmont line. So Corey Jarrod confirmed ACL.
That's no good.
Jake Wood, potential ACL. So
what's going on with the resort there? What's happening?
Belmont Lions went from having an absolute truckload of ruckman, Hootsma, Wood, yeah. Jed Evans. Jed Evans has gone up north to play in the Kyabram League.
Uh-huh.
Hootsma's injured, and now Jake Wood as well. So Jack Evans playing as the undersized ruck.
Yep.
So things have changed. And they've got That's a tough run.
Yes, they have.
Their next five weeks is fairly full on.
Yep.
Sheriff with a collarbone. Beasley's hurt a hamstring. Lockie Slurak, another hamstring. Harry Thompson with a knee. So there's some issues there. Ocean Grove, we're talking with their president, Greg Mervin, a little bit later, but they've got premiership reunions, 95 and 2000 this weekend.
Gee whiz. Don't ring Neil D on Sunday.
Probably not. No. So after he hopefully gets his team a win Saturday arvo at St Mary's in South.
Well, about time.
They do need one. They are just, they're teetering at the moment.
Do you know what he'll say, though? You know what the great man says? It's halfway through the season. Yeah. We were like this last year. Yeah. It's okay.
Flags aren't one
Flags
in June.
Flags aren't, correct. Well done.
Will Bowne made his debut for St Albans
last
week.
He did.
Great story.
The great man.
Yeah, so son of Nat, and of course, grandson of Bill Allthorpe.
Yes, presents the medal every year.
And great-grandson of Jim Allthorpe, who of course the Reserves medal is named after.
Yep.
So great, fantastic to see.
And he
did a lot of work, Will. He's always been a fairly solidly built kid, but worked his Tijuana off literally over summer.
Needs a haircut, though, can I say?
He does.
Come on, Will.
I think the old man would be a bit jealous of that hair, too.
Do you reckon it's thinning on Nat?
I know.
He'd love this.
Yeah, no, I don't think he would.
There's a text message for you.
Some sad news out of St Albans. Tommy Butterworth.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
Passing away. Life member of the club.
Yep, and at Geelong as well. At Geelong Cricket Club. He was a great servant down there. So, yeah, that's not good.
Not ideal. Match review panel in Nathan King from North Shore. Care umpire contact. 1 week back to a reprimand with an early guilty plea. And Jarvis Miles from Inverleigh was looked at for an alleged strike on Joel Bennett. Joel's back playing.
God, he just doesn't stop, does he?
No.
Mate?
Wow.
Yeah, Is he just playing forward?
I would think so.
Until it gets the better of him and he starts playing in the middle again.
So, yeah, there's a lot happening. Yeah. Anything on your desk?
What do we call it when we don't get sued? What's that?
Guess who don't sue.
Well, I hear there's a couple of Catholic players who are already looking for greener pastures next year.
Right.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
Okay. Also,
that narrows it down to three clubs.
Well, St Albans isn't a Catholic club. Like,
well, excuse me, they're a little bit Catholic.
Yeah, but they're not based off...
Oh, listen to the St Joey's boy. Here we go. All right, well, it's not St Albans then.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Down to two. thank you for that. This is a media release that I've received from North Shore, and I will read this verbatim. To whom it may... Whom it may concern, recent media speculation about North Shore seeking to affiliate with a league other than the GFNL is not factual. North Shore has, from time to time, inquired about opportunities that may or may not exist in the interests of its members. These spasmodic inquiries date back many years and include back to when the VFA was in existence. Just close quote there for a moment. North Shore was talked about in the late 90s when they were very dominant, but I also understand North Shore was talked about through the Gordon Hines era as when the VFA was looking to further expand. They were looking at three divisions, the VFA at one stage, and North Shore's name came up in that era as well.
Mm.
The media appears to be confusing inquiries with applications. North Shore sees its future in the GFNL as it strives towards its centenary year in 2027. There will be no further comments on this matter. Below quotes are from North Shore President Marion Sponner. I've taken over as president and intend to be here for at least 5 years. The club is in the process of formulating a five-year plan. The club is seeking unquestionable support from the AFL, AFL Vic and AFL Barwon as we negotiate the most difficult of times within the postcode. The club is skillfully and appreciatively attained some $7 million of funding to develop the precinct facilities. These are exciting times, and we will develop the best facility in the GFNL. It has got real potential out there. because the surface is so good.
Well, and they've got great space too. Yeah. They've got great space to be able to do it.
The club is actively recruiting senior players and is seeking stability in order to fulfil that recruiting mission. Netball has come along in leaps and bounds, and it is our intention and a genuine possibility the club will field a full suite of teams in 2026, including juniors. The club is working harder than ever to establish juniors. This is a most difficult challenge, and we are seeking promised assistance from AFL Vic and AFL Barn. Driving to achieve an outcome here has enormous difficulties, and things that have been tried and failed will be superseded with new methods. I wonder what that means for the Northern Stars. This must not and cannot fail. Although on-field football results have plenty of room for improvement and are disappointing, we have over 70 listed players. The club is totally viable financially, and we are vastly committed to vastly improve. They are the words of Marion Sponner. So there you go.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, they have inquired, and I know for a fact they've inquired, and that's fine. They're allowed to. They're allowed to do. They should be doing due diligence. Yeah. And if they think
that was if that was the phrase used by Marion last week.
Absolutely.
When I spoke to him, we're doing our due diligence on the future.
All avenues,
of the club.
Western Region, Colac League, whatever they they choose, and they should go and do that. And if they've worked out that the best place for them is the GFNL, then off you go. And we should support them and make sure that they go okay. The thing's going to be they need to recruit and recruit well. The retention factor is going to be the key at that club, like any club in the whole world.
And how many points can you give them?
Well, I mean, that's the other discussion, isn't it? I mean, you know, we talk about clubs. You know, I think the points, well, our learned friend, Mr. Kershaw, has some things to say on points. But I think it has to be a situation where it is fluid because clubs go up and down all the time. Like, you know, all the time there's as a club that will finish in the top five and the next year they'll finish in the bottom three. It's just the way it is.
But the thing with the GFNL at the moment is, when do you see St Joseph's, St Mary's, Newtown ever missing finals? I know Newtown missed last year.
Yeah.
But right now, those are the three clubs that have benefited
most.
But
that's 20 years of hard work.
Yeah.
Out of those three clubs. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. And Sponner's right. Like, 5 years, he will see the start of that process. And there'll be somebody else who will need to come in and do it for the next 10 years after that. Because it needs to be sustainable. And that's the thing.
But they have tried before. And it's...
Yeah, well...
They got themselves back up before COVID. They were starting to get moving. I think there was a year, might have been 18, where with two rounds to play, they were actually still in finals contention.
Yeah. But it's doing it year on year. That's the key.
Oh, that's massive.
And that's the key. So you can have a good year and then you flounder again, and that's the problem. So they need to have consistency, sustainability, and they need support.
As I touched on, Greg Mervin, a little bit later, Ocean Grove president, East Geelong star, Jack Beetzel, and noted listener of this podcast.
Is he, Jack?
Very, very disappointed that the term award-winning wasn't used last week because you weren't here.
Got on
social media and had a crack at us. But our first guest is a man who's back playing footy, and it's great to see. We'll talk to him after this. It is the captain of the Bell Park Dragons in Lockie Batten.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Well, in our 5 years of broadcasting GFNL, one of our favourite players has been a man who swings very often onto his left foot just to pump the ball into attacks for the Bell Park Dragons. Now, first half of the season, he's been sidelined, but he came back last week, and it was good to see him back in the green and white, and they had a good win over St Albans too, and that is their captain, Lockie Patton, who's been good enough to join us on K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. How are you, Lock?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good. Nice to be back playing footy after a frustrating first half of 2025.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just like I said to the gents, I'm just happy to be here. So taking it all in for granted, to be honest. Once you miss out on a few, it gives you a bit more of a perspective.
Yep. Because you hadn't missed a lot of footy, had you, over your GFNL journey?
No, not too much. And that's why I wasn't too... Oh, you can't cut up rough because other guys that had it worse than me and things like that. So I had a pretty good run. So
take us through. Just take us through the issue.
It was a groin issue. And I had it towards the end of last year and I played through it, which was a mistake, but through the last, probably 8 games last year. But it's small and just got worse and worse. But we were building towards finals and I didn't miss out, and I could play out games fine. It was just during the week it was really sore, and then obviously just got grumpier and grumpier as the season went on.
It's fair to say the first half of the season
Lockie probably hasn't gone just completely to plan for the club. And lots of injuries, lots of blokes who have been in and out with VFL and a few bits and pieces. But obviously on Saturday, it all came together. And hopefully at the back end, you'll be able to get some players back in the team and be able to push towards that finals.
Yeah, true. The big two games, obviously, is the first two games of the year, Colac and the Newtown games. And they're probably two wins that are worth 8 points or in the end, because they're the teams that are going to be vying off for that fourth to fifth spot. So disappointing to drop them. But like you said, we've had a few key players. And that was the first time, I think, on the weekend that all of our leadership group played in the same game. So that was a positive.
And the other positive during the week has been the two-year contract extension for the coach. That must be great for the playing group and great for the club that Sakes is going to hang around and keep going and see the job through.
Yeah, it is awesome when the captain of the ship, I suppose, signs off and gives the direction he's going in. It makes it pretty easy for everyone else to fall in line. So, no, definitely great to have him on board. Like, you know, you could see him going to a higher level in coaching because he's very, very good. But it's great that he's on board for the next 2 years.
What makes him a good coach, Locke?
I think it's the mix of his technical side, like his tactical nous and his, you know, ability to interpret vision and things like that, but also the connection he builds with players. Usually, I think you get coaches that have one dominant side over the other. Like, I've played under coaches that are very technical, but then I've played under coaches that aren't so technical but are very good at getting buy-in from the players. But I feel like Sakes gets that balance really well, right, and it's one of his genuine strengths as a coach.
You got a cracking game this week, and obviously last year we talked about you made finals, but really other than the Leopold win last year, you're on some frightful hidings from the likes of St. Joey's and St. Mary's and South Bar, and a little bit that was to do with, you know, Sakes did say that, you know, when games were gone, he was trying things and he was happy to cop the bigger margin, but this is a real big test to find out how much you have improved.
Yeah, it definitely is, and especially hopefully we name a strong side. I don't think there's too many outs without giving too much away, but it doesn't really matter. So hopefully we can give a good scare. And like Newtown showed us the other week, they're not unbeatable. The Joes, they're a very quality side, but I think if you put your mind to it, especially in local footy, mindset is a big contributing factor, I think, on the Saturday. So that'll play a big part.
Can I take you back a couple of weeks, knowing that you were close to a return, but watching the Grovedale game and they're attacking late, and what are you like sitting there watching it as an observer?
It was very close. Grovedale were awesome in that last quarter, and big Ryan Abbott was just putting it down the midfielder's throat. So it was a very gritty effort out there. I if you follow the Premier League, that's going out to Bertha Reserve is like going out on a cold, wet night at Stoke City. That's what we refer it to. So we get the points and we get out of there. Obviously we didn't play our best, but to respect Grovedale, just shocked us in that last quarter with some good play. So we were lucky to hold on, to be honest.
Stoke City have one of the great nicknames of any sporting club in the world.
The Potters.
Well, and there must be some older blokes at Bell Park because they haven't been in the Premier League for a while. So
no, they haven't.
But I get what you mean in terms of Boodoo.
Yeah.
It's a cold,
windy,
cold place, absolutely. Well, I was going to take you back. It's only been 6 or 7 weeks since you played St. Joey's. So, and we actually interviewed the coach after the game, and he was filthy, can I be honest. He wasn't happy with the performance. So do you look back at that? How does James bring that into the discussion around how you played against them last time and what you have made improvements to see where you're going to get to on the weekend?
Yeah, for sure. I think you got to take in the lessons learnt. Like, Joey showed that their skill level and their class was at a genuine cut above than what we were. So we've got to rise to the occasion in that sense. Definitely we'll delve into some lessons learnt from last time. You'd be silly not to, I think.
Lockie, where's my man Bridgewater? How far away?
Bridge, been in a lot of conversations with Bridgie on the sidelines. He's a very, very funny man.
Yes.
But I think he was doing some tests during the week, and he's back running, I think, just jogging. So he's, you know, he's worked harder than, he worked very hard and a lot harder than the average person. So, you know, he'll be in peak condition if he comes back, hopefully later on in the year, which will be a huge bonus because he's a genuine star.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one that you've missed, but you have put a 5-3 record together. And I suppose, yeah, as you touched on the two performances at the start of the year against Colac and Newtown combined losing margin, I think, of 24 points. You could have easily been 7-1. You're not, and that is all now hypothetical, and you can't change it. But you've really got to, I suppose, find something against those top half of the ladder teams.
Yeah, the good news is I'm pretty sure that we play Colac and Newtown again, and we play Leopold twice. So that gives us like a gauge of those teams fighting for those, you know, anywhere from third to fifth, those spots. So, you know, it's still in our hands, if that makes sense. We're not relying on other results. If we go out there and beat those teams, yeah, top five spots genuinely out for the taking.
A massive 3 weeks leading into the late season bye, or the July bye, whatever you want to call it. Joey's Leopold at Leopold, which will be our CarrollFootball.live broadcast game on June 28, and then Newtown in the Zoe Kennedy clash.
Yes.
At High Sushi Oval on July 5. Now, Lockie, we do this little player profile. Do you subscribe to Beyond the Boundary? Are you a regular listener, or are we not somebody who partakes?
I do. If it's someone I know, I'll tune in. But if it's someone I don't, I probably won't.
Right.
To be honest.
Well,
but yeah.
Well, you know us personally now, Locke, so you need to answer. You need to listen to it every week.
I was going to say, who don't you know in local footy?
Come on.
Mitch
was our favourite. Come on, Locke. We want you to be our favourite, Patton. Come on, let's go. Hurry up. Let's see how this works. Let's see how this goes.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. Well, full name.
Lachlan Darcy Patton.
Date of birth and where?
19th of the 12th, 1993. And funny enough, it says on my passport, Whittington.
Whittington?
Because I think there was like an old...
Geelong Private.
Geelong Private.
Yeah, great sort of spot.
Not the first, I don't think, to give us that as a place of
being born. We have had a few
born.
There, actually. Yeah. Because Kingy was born at St John of God because he's a good Catholic. And I was at Baxter House because it was Geelong Hospital and we always have a running battle. But private hospital, well done. Good work.
Narrator, Kingy's not Catholic.
I know, but you were born there. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Height.
Don't lie.
Taller than Fraser Marriott. We'll just put it on that.
Oh, please. A Smurf is taller than Fraser Marriott. Come on now. You'll like that one.
Recruited from?
Drysdale.
Occupation?
God's country.
God's country.
financial advisor or financial planning.
Yeah. No longer surf shop worker?
No. Used to, back in the day.
Yeah. Surf Junction.
Was he?
Yeah. Nice. Has Mum still got it?
Things.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's still got it.
All right, corner. Here we go, free plug. At the roundabout, so you've got, here's your roundabout at Drysdale.
Yep.
Surf Junction.
Yes.
Ristevsky's Lawyers.
Yes.
Lays with the Drysdale Pub.
Yes.
William Sheehan Funerals.
Ah, the great man.
The Undertaker. And then I think there's a real estate agent on the other side.
I told you it's God's country down there.
The old five ways. Well done. Good work.
Schools attended?
Drysdale Primary School and Geelong High.
Oh! Lockie! An alumni! Finally, I found one.
Thank you.
Oh, good work, Lockie.
Is that
good
our first Geelong High?
Oh, I think it might be our first Geelong High. Absolutely.
What car are we driving, Lock?
Hyundai Tucson, actually.
Oh, yeah, nice. Sports played other than footy?
Golf, very, very seriously, and obviously, and tennis back in the day.
Seriously, what's your handicap?
Are we off?
It's embarrassing at the moment. It's like 7.
Oh.
I've gone out. It's bad. No.
Don't you love how blokes say it's embarrassing?
No, it's
7.
It is. Oh. It is. And there's a few golfers that, you know, are really after me. Anyway, don't go there.
7. Favourite food?
Favourite food? Good steak.
Nice. Favourite drink?
Drink? I go through phases, but I'm really on that chocolate coconut water at the moment.
Cocabella. Oh, come on. Lockie, tidy it up.
Delicious.
Oh, wow.
Delicious.
Oh, we're going to have a chat next week when we see you. Favourite singer or band?
Singer or band? Pitbull.
Favourite TV show?
Seinfeld.
Yeah! Oh, Lockie, this is great.
Favourite movie?
Favourite movie? Oh, I've got a top 10 list of movies, but favourite movie, anything by Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, right.
Okay, give us some of his. Yeah, what are some of his movies?
No, you got like Interstellar, the Batman trilogy with Christian Bale.
Good director. Top. Good director.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Favorite holiday spot?
London.
Oh. Financial planner, pardon me.
Watch Arsenal play. That's the best part.
Oh, that's geez, that's no good.
Did you ever get to Highbury or only been to the Emirates?
I've only been to the Emirates a couple of times. Yeah.
Biggest influence on your career?
Mitch. Him sharing hair.
Oh, good one.
Oh yeah, yeah, nice. That's good.
Most admired sports person? Tim Sheringham.
No, definitely not. Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm. Pre-game routine.
On field
stuff. Yeah, on course, not off.
Well done.
Yeah. Pre-game routine.
No, not massively. I don't eat a lot. That's my key. Mm.
Biggest footy thrill.
I don't know. Getting my brother holding the ball one time.
That would have been good.
Biggest footy disappointment?
I think it's one in 2016. We went out in straight sets and we beat the Premier the 2 weeks before the final. So that was pretty disappointing.
And if you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
This is such an awkward question.
This is where we learn a bit about people.
Yeah.
This is really tough. I'd go... I've genuinely got no
Tiger.
Idea.
You'd invite Tiger, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd invite Tiger. Tiger, Shane Warne.
Yes.
You reckon he'd have a good yarn?
Yeah. Oh, you reckon?
Yeah. And he'd be a real good host.
Yes, he would.
Yep. And my brother, Mitch.
There we go. Well, good work. Well done.
All right. That is the end of the profile, but one last question. Is there any chance you'll go back to Drysdale and play under Ben Carmichael in his last 2 years?
Wow.
The only thing is probably not, because it's just so far away from my house. It's a 35-minute drive. It's a tough one. But yeah, maybe. Never say never.
But it's in God's country.
It is. That is true as well.
And there'll be Surf Junction vouchers for you.
It's a very loaded question, Matt.
I think you might get them anyway.
Yeah. Lockie, great to chat with you. Great to see you back playing footy. And we look forward to seeing you in the flesh next Saturday out at Leopold Memorial Park for a clash with the Lions. And hopefully that's not too far to drive for you.
You'll get a lift. You'll get a lift.
Hopefully Mitch is down. I'll give me a lift. All right. Thanks, gents. I'll see you later.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.
We have a lot of favourites in local footy, but this is one guy that I genuinely enjoy watching play. Probably don't get to watch him as much now that he's at East Geelong and we're broadcasting GFNL, but got to watch him play a little bit at Motawarri and, of course, being a St Albans man as well, saw him play a bit at GFNL level. But he's been good enough to join us ahead of a massive clash. This is a big one against Yannicky. Yannicky gets to test their credentials and East looking to just create a bit more separation inside the top three. The Eagles, of course, going okay at the moment, but we are talking to Jack Beardsall. Jack, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary.
No worries. Thank you for having me on the award-winning Beyond the Boundary podcast. I'd throw that in there for you.
Well done, Jack. Good work.
You were a bit disappointed last week that award-winning didn't get mentioned. You even took a photo and screenshotted your Apple CarPlay to me.
I was. Every Thursday morning, I have about a 45-minute drive to work once I've done the school drop-off and that, and I was sitting there in dismay, nearly crashed probably three times because I thought no one said the words award winning yet. Yeah.
See what happens, Jack? I leave for a week and the place goes to hell.
But that's your shtick. That's your award winning is your thing.
Award winning. I love it. Yes. We're award winning.
The question I've got for you, Jack, is will you, when you listen back to this edition, listen to your segment or you just listen to the other two in the news?
I'll probably start with my section and then work my way back to the start.
I love it. Now, the Eagles are going okay. Everybody's talking about North Geelong and Belmont Lions. Everybody's talking about Aniki, and you guys are just at the halfway mark of the season, just finding a way to sit nicely in third spot. Couple of game gap on fourth. Not too much has gone wrong through the first half of the season.
No, it has been a bit interesting that, and rightfully so, you know, North Geelong and Belmont have had kind of all the raps. They're both playing very good football. They both beat us in consecutive weeks. And then Aniki probably has been the form team the last few weeks. And even every game they've lost, they probably could have or should have won. So, yeah, we're plodding along. We're going okay. We're finding ways to win, which is always good.
Yep. The fact that you've got that two-game gap must be really pleasing. And maintaining it's a key. If you can get over Aniki this week and other results go your way, there's potentially you can open up a three-game gap with eight to play, and that could put you in a really good spot to have a crack from a, well, still open to finishing on top, but at least a qualifying final.
Yeah, it certainly is, and especially there's a host of teams that are 4 and 5 as well. So, you know, if we can win and everyone else is kind of that 5 and 5 mark and we got 8 wins, it can be a really good buffer. But, you know, on the other side, if we lose, we kind of fall back to the pack and then we start getting in a lot more 8-point games in the home stretch, which obviously we want to avoid where we can.
You came across from Motawari at the end of 2022, and it's fair to say either side of COVID, your body didn't look after you, but you've been able to have a fairly clear run over the last 2.5 years. Has been, I suppose, maybe a drop back in standard of the GD or something else helped with you being able to get on the park more often than not?
Yeah, I'll give a plug to someone here. I was seeing Geordie Kerris, Anglesey coach, as a physio, and he gave me a lot of exercises, rehab, but just different strength and conditioning stuff to kind of maintain. So I've probably looked after the body a bit more now, not by choice, but just been on the wrong side of 30. So, you know, I guess I hit COVID about 25, where you could still rock up at training and do whatever you wanted and you didn't pull up sore. And then I got to the other side and found out the hard way I couldn't do that anymore.
Geordie will love that shout out too, Jack. Well done. Good work. We look at the scores every week when we're at GFNL, and you are right. You are finding ways to win. What's the difference in terms of close games? Because we look at you at halftime sometimes and go, you're 20 points down and we just go, oh, they're going to lose this game. And then you end up winning by a couple of goals. Do you feel as though you're one of the fitter teams in the league and can finish off games pretty well?
Yeah, and I think we're pretty fortunate to have a lot of depth as well, and not just through our development side, but also with positional on the field. So we probably have started games and things haven't worked and other sides have found ways to shut us down, and we've been able to, I guess, adapt on the move, come out, you know, move some players into different positions and, yeah, find different ways to win, whereas probably last year we were a bit one-dimensional, but it worked. And then once we got to finals and teams kind of shut us down, we didn't really have a second gear or a different gear, I should say, that we could use.
Yeah,
and we hadn't had to work it. So it's probably more pleasing now being third than what it was last year when we were, you know, at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, and success breeds success, and it breeds players when you come to the club. You've been able to recruit some players to top up for the next sort of go at it. You know, Jeremy Ollis is obviously one, Steely up forward, and obviously a couple of others as well. So it also makes it tough for players at the club to really have to be performing week in, week out to be able to get those games too, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got some guys that are incredibly stiff, running around at 12 o'clock pretty much every week. Like, I'd hate to be at selection with the coaches on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And mind you, we sit around on a Thursday waiting for an hour sometimes for them to come and announce the teams. But it's hard to argue with why. So it's a good problem to have, absolutely.
Did you play much footy with Steely at St Albans, Jack?
Yeah, I played all my junior footy with him, and I think the first year in seniors before he crossed over to Newcombe. So that's one of those ones where, you know, pretty much after one practice match, it's like, oh, yeah, he still plays the exact same. So it's good for me, you know, familiar there. And same as with Zach Smith as well, that they're working really well on the forward line because they did the same thing growing up. So that worked out really well.
Yeah, and you played with Jez Ollis at Motawari as well. Mm. Did you have any influence with the Steel and the Ollis deals?
I would say that I borderline harassed Jeremy Ollis to come to East Geelong. I pretty much, yeah, the moment that Ned signed with us in 2024, I said to him, you know, we should try and get Jez. And then we didn't quite do it, and then we tried again the next year. So, yeah, I was probably the reason he didn't sign. He would have been sick of me by the end of it.
And you've got the little you've got the Sandhurst Mafia as well with Gaylor Minnari rolling into town.
Yeah, same as Jake McLean, who's, they've been unbelievable there. And they're only getting better every week. Like, Jake and Galen have slotted in, like, they had been with us for the last 3 years, and they're both phenomenal footballers and people, which is, you know, only good for us.
Yeah, and obviously, I think Lockie Zim is the other member of that trio.
Correct, yeah. So he came on board last year and managed to get them both down this year, and he's playing as good as footy as I've seen him as well. So, you know, I think when you've got that connection within a club as well, it can help you in your football too.
Yep. It's probably offset the absence of Billy Andrew a little bit with those guys coming in.
Yeah, definitely. So, and even Ryan Leppard coming back, same as, like I said before, last year we were a bit one-dimensional. We had, you know, maybe three midfielders and six forwards, six backs, and that was it. But now we've got, you know, people that can come in and play anywhere. We've added a lot more depth. We've got even the younger boys like the Mulvilles that are playing, you know, the best footy I've seen them play, but they're playing in a different spot every week as well. You know, Jude Payne was down back. Now he's playing a bit of forward. So, like I said, we've got really good versatility, which is good, and those recruits have helped that.
I've got to ask you about Benny Crombie. Have you got an update for us on seriousness and weeks with that injury that he suffered before the interleague bind? I know he was absolutely devastated not to pull on a GDFNL jumper.
Yeah, he was. So I think it is the 4 to 6 week range. So it wasn't super. Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yep.
You know, so I guess the good thing for us is we'll definitely see him again this season, which is obviously what we're hoping for, because he's a special player that you can't just replace. You know, we've got people that stand up, and they did that on the weekend without him. But yeah, the good thing is that it could have been worse, as sad as we are that he's, you know, not playing for the short term.
Yep. Who's going to Bosley? Who gets first crack on Saturday afternoon?
It's a good question. Glad it's not me. I'm glad I'm one of the 5'9" guys, because I wouldn't want that job. But I know it's really hard, because you've obviously got Jay Levers playing forward, you know, and he's easing back into it, but he's a seriously good footballer. And then, you know, you never know who else is going to be down there with the Long, Davey, if they're back. So, you know, same again, it's going to be a tough one, but I'd say probably Jaden Fanning or Tim Lee.
Yep.
They'd get first crack, and then... yeah, who knows? Anarchy, they've got stars in every line now, so it's really hard to know how much effort to put into them without going too far and forgetting about yourself.
If Luke Dalhouse wanders forward, do you get that match up at some stage?
Absolutely not. I've figured out. I tried a lockdown match up in a final last year, and I think Jacob Knight had 4 at half time, so I wouldn't be putting my hand up to do that again.
And Jacob Knight's barely played that since that preliminary final.
He doesn't need to.
No, he did a number on you. No, premiership and did his knee, unfortunately. Now, Jack, you're a regular listener, so you know what's coming with this little player profile?
I do, yes.
All right. You happy to partake?
Sure am. Let's go for it.
Full name?
Jack Andrew Beardsell.
Not Jack Midge Beardsell.
I actually, funny enough, I told my 7-year-old son that my name's Jack Midge Beardsell about 6 months ago, and he still believes it.
How is Dad, by the way?
Yeah, good. He's, pretty much goes to whoever's playing closest to home out of East Geelong and St Albans, you'll see him there. So he doesn't venture out of the 3-2-1-9 too much.
What's Billy up to?
He's played up at Surfers Paradise with Mitchie Patton and Jack Brownman, but he's only managed, or pretty much three games of football, but in two of them he got injured in the first 15 minutes. So he's got crackers at the moment. So he hasn't had a good run at it, unfortunately.
Time to come home, Bill.
Time to come home, Dave.
I keep telling him June 30th's not over yet.
I get him home this year. That's good.
date of birth and where?
11th of the 3rd, 1994, in Baxter House. Yeah. Sorry, Kingy. That's one for you, Jack.
Jack. Great work. Well done.
Height?
177 with footy boots on.
Yeah, so just under 5'10".
So that gets me to 5'10". So yeah.
Recruited from Motowari, which we know. Occupation?
I work in the home finance section for Westpac.
Nice.
So mortgage broker by trade, but I just work at Westpac.
Schools attended?
Went to Geelong East Primary School and then Newcombe Secondary College.
What car are we driving?
Volkswagen.
Sports played other than footy?
Played cricket here and there. So pretty much I retire every second season and I come back and play. This is no good. And then I retire again and then I end up playing again.
Did you play in that St Albans Breakwater team that might have upset a very talented St Joseph's team in a one-day final a few years ago?
No, I didn't. I was there watching it. So we were playing on the oval next to it in the first and we lost. We got rolled for 90, chasing 110, and then we went up there and watched that. So got to see it.
It was at Breakwater Oval too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From memory. Favourite food?
Pizza.
Favourite drink?
Definitely not good for me, but a can of V.
A can of V? Nice.
Favourite singer or band?
Zach Bryan.
Favourite TV show?
Friends.
Favourite movie?
Nice.
Remember the Titans.
Yes.
Favourite actor or actress?
Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. Favourite holiday spot?
I haven't been on holiday in ages. Probably Bali.
Biggest influence on your career?
Definitely my dad and my brother.
Most admired sports person?
Russell Westbrook.
Really? That's a good one.
Pre-game routine?
This podcast would go for 2 hours if I told you everything that I do before a game. I'm incredibly OCD and do the same thing from pretty much a Thursday night through to a Saturday, which...
Really?
I don't know why I do it because I'm a very average footballer, but I keep doing it for some reason.
Do you know what the definition of insanity is, Jack?
Yes. Unfortunately, I do, but then I can't stop.
Yeah. The OCD takes over from the insanity. It's good. I like it.
Biggest footy thrill?
I won a junior premiership. That was good when I was in under 16.
Hmm. Biggest footy disappointment?
Probably got two that are equal. Going last year in straight sets was no good. And my final game for Motowari was losing a semi-final to Billy when he was playing for Drysdale. Mm. So he's got that over me for the rest of our lives, which is no good.
But they didn't win the flag.
I know, and I played on him for the first 15 minutes of the first quarter, and he didn't kick a goal, so I keep telling him that it held him goalless in the final. mind you, he played much better than me on the day, and they went on to win, but that's all I tell him, that I kept him goalless.
And if you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be, Jackie Boy?
I would go Russell Westbrook, Nat Fyfe.
Freo man.
Yeah, big Freo man. Last one's half. Maybe Kevin Durant, just to keep it interesting with Russell Westbrook.
I can't believe you didn't say your biggest footy thrill was watching Freo beat Geelong in that final in 2013.
I actually bring it up all the time to every Geelong supporter I've ever met. So,
How did you become a Freo man?
I think it was one of the first games Mum and Dad ever took us to was a Geelong and Fremantle game down here. I think it was 99 or 2000.
Yeah, right.
That was Fremantle's first win, and I was 5 or 6 years old and saw a team win for the first time and decided I wanted to go for them. And
yeah, right.
Mum and Dad said no, and I was stubborn and said yes, and then it was too late, and I watched us win nothing for the next 20 years, and Geelong have won everything. So it wasn't a great decision.
Well, they were wearing green then, I think, in part of their jumper, wouldn't they, when you started burying
them
for
them? Yeah, wearing green. So it hasn't been a great decision. And unfortunately, my son Will is now a Mad Freo supporter as well, so I'll apologise to him in about 10 years' time when he understands.
Love it. Jack, appreciate you giving us a bit of an insight into your life and how footy's tracking for you at the moment. Always good to catch up and talk footy with you, and appreciate you jumping on Beyond the Boundary with us.
Perfect, no worries. The pleasure was all mine, thank you.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
And we are really going beyond the boundary here. Oh, we're going into the halls of power down at Ray Menzies Oval.
Power broker.
Yeah. The first-year president, former premiership star Greg Mervin, has been good enough to join us on the podcast. Hello, Merv.
G'day, Kingy. G'day, Doc. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I've got to correct you straight off the mark there, Kingy. It's Steel Line, Ray Menzies Oval. Never forget the major sponsor, mate.
Oh, you have worked your way perfectly from the off the field, haven't you?
Is that... I learned from the best. I learned from Phil King, mate. Phil King taught me.
Oh, your old man. My old man, yeah. That's a Stevenson's, isn't it?
Yes, correct.
Good to see they're looking after the club. What's it like transitioning into a president's role? You've been retired for a while, but what made you put your hand up to say, hang on, I need to fill a role here? Obviously, Pete Smith had stood down after probably he was the accidental president. I think he went in there as sort of a interim back in about 2018 or 19 and found himself still there 6 years later.
Yeah, I think Pete's, 10 years into a three-year plan, mate. he needs a break. I guess when you've spent a lot of time in a club and played at the club for a long time, and you get a bit older in life, you transition, your kids start playing junior sport there, it's time to step up and it's your turn to do the dirty work, mate, and then put your hand up and run the club.
What have you learnt about what the president role entails since you've taken the role? Was it what you thought it was, or, you know, 9 or 10 months on since the AGM, you've gone, oh, gee, hang on, there's a bit more to it than I thought?
A lot of it's what I thought it would be, and what I really enjoy is interacting with the players, the junior players, the senior players, into footy and netball, with the sponsors, the life members, all that stuff I love. It's just the day-to-day administration, the amount of phone calls you get. It is a high workload, and I guess at our club now, the next challenge for us is to work out how do we break down that workload, get more people in, doing less work. That's sort of the next step for us, mate, to recruit more people in just to lessen the workload on those that have put their hand up.
Because the club is not devoid of players, definitely, from a football and netball perspective, and it's in obviously still in a growth area too, Merv. So it's just that it's the capability of clubs to be able to get those volunteers to come and help out when and where required.
Yeah, 100%. Our club is really, really healthy. We've got a great culture. We've got great people involved. We get great buy-in from all our people, from our town, great support from our other businesses in our town and our community. So, yeah, it's just about now nutting out what roles really need to be covered and recruiting people in to just to help out and just making it attractive for people to be there as well. So there's not, you know, so people don't walk into a big role, just walk in, help us with this little thing, and then people will step in and help. So that's what we're aiming to do, just get more involvement from the people in our town. From a non-playing perspective.
From a facilities perspective, you can't get any better than what you've got. Your netball courts and your football ground and your rooms are amazing. Like, they have, obviously, done an awful lot of work to get them to that stage. So they're coming. People would be coming into a club realising that it's, as you said, just a small little role can make a big difference.
Yeah, 100%. So one thing someone can do is one thing less I have to do, or the treasurer has to do, or the secretary or anyone else, the footy director. So, look, The Ocean Grove Sporting Infrastructure Plan came out recently. That's been a real win for us. So Memorial's getting a great upgrade. The social rooms there are fantastic. The canteen and kitchen's all been redone. The change rooms, the famous old change rooms, mate, that you've got changed in before.
Jeez.
They're actually getting cubicle showers and toilets in there, mate.
No.
Believe it or not.
Really? So, showers at Ocean Grove?
I've only been asking since about 1984, but that's finally happening. So that's just going to be a great base for our junior and women's and footy programs.
Yeah.
And Ray Menzies Oval is just spectacular, just a great venue. So we'll just keep building that as well. We've got more stuff we want to do there yet. So, yeah, so infrastructure-wise, we're in a really good, strong place.
And that infrastructure plan, Merv, has an oval going at the top there of Ray Menzies Oval, and the soccer club will be relocated. What's the time frame on that?
Well, we're not 100% sure on that. I think it'll just be as soon as it can be done. We really got to thank the state government, the federal government, and the council for chipping in and helping with all this stuff. You know, makes such a difference. It'd be great for soccer too, because it's really difficult sharing a home with another club. It's been difficult for them. It's difficult for us. So it's just going to be a win for everybody in the region. Yeah, we get the second oval up on top behind the social rooms at Ray Menzies Oval, which would be awesome. We're also going to get a show court, netball court built.
Oh, wow.
At the Marlin end, so the southern end of that soccer field, which is near the soccer field, we'll have a new show court built there for a netball. So, I mean, down the track, we'd love to host finals and grand finals at Ocean Grove. Imagine Ray Menzies Oval with a grand final on it, mate. It'd be amazing.
Have you put your hand up for finals this year, or is it just too hard to make it a lockout facility?
Yeah, just too hard at the moment to lock it out. So that's just something we can plan to do down the track. But, you know, it's a perfect venue for it. And I still think, from memory years ago, I did hear whispers that at one stage the old Bellarine Footy League wanted to have that as sort of a home base. I heard that back in the 80s. Whether that was true or not, I'm not 100% sure, but that's the gist I sort of felt, or the word I heard way back then when I was only a young fella running around.
Is there any chance you can get the old scoreboard rebuilt at Memorial? Because that was a cracker until it burnt down.
We'd love to. Yeah, we'd love to get it. We are getting a new electronic one there. We've got funding for that. So those works are in place at the moment. Yeah, but I love that scoreboard. Had the time clock on it and everything kingy. It was real old school. And yeah. I still remember 3CS broadcasting games from there and reading off the time clock. So that was great.
3CS. Now you're showing your age, man.
Warren Richards and Jeff Peel.
Scoreboard, mate.
Now, all right, we're spoken about off the field. Now on the field. We are struggling just a little bit at this stage. What's going on with the on-field?
Mainly injuries for us to key senior players and our bigger bodies. So we've played a lot of young kids again this year. They're all getting great experience. But we just don't have the size to combat a strong opposition for four quarters. So we're competitive in patches, maybe a quarter or two quarters, sometimes three and a half, but we just can't get that four-quarter performance in at the moment. But we just believe we've got such a strong junior base. If we just keep bringing our juniors through and we just keep developing them, helping them, add where we can with recruiting, things will turn. I mean, everything's goes in a cycle, and we just think our turn is at the bottom at the moment. The wheels will turn for us, and we'll come out the other side. We just got to stick together and just work hard together. That's all we need to do.
And in terms of that sticking together, then, look, the coaching group, are they locked in for next season or beyond? What's the scenario with them?
No, not everything's locked in yet, but we're about to open up some talks with Dave to see what his intentions are. I think we'd like him to stay for at least another year to see where it goes. The playing group's really vibrant, still energetic. People still turn up to training. We've got massive numbers at training all the time. When I watch training, it looks so organised. It runs well. So it's a happy place. We're not winning games, but the place is a happy place. So that's the main thing. And like I said, the performance on the field will turn. You just got to stick that.
You wore a cracking Indigenous design jumper on the weekend, Merv, designed by one of your players, Jai Walker, who, of course, is a proud Indigenous man and has created numerous jumper designs. But the one I saw, was lucky enough to get a sneak peek at it when I was down in the precinct on Friday night. It was an absolute jaffer. It's probably one you wouldn't just wear one off.
No. We're really proud of Jai, and we're proud to wear that jumper, the jumper he designed. And, yeah, we're in discussions with him when we do wear it, when he wants us to wear it. So we'll work out what we want to do with that jumper, but that'll be with us for a long time now, and we've been wanting our club for a very long time.
Yeah, massive day coming up on Saturday, past players / reunion, 95 and 2000 premierships, so Brendan McCartney and Mark Neild. I'm guessing Port Melbourne aren't playing Saturday afternoon. I know South Barwon are, but there's going to be plenty of big names returning back to the club for a couple of very famous flags.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. To have the two reunions, the two premierships celebrated on the one day is going to be fantastic. Great to have Macca back at the club. It's always great to have Neildy there as well. We love both those fellas. You know, they're just inspirational men and just a huge part of our history. And, yeah, just to have those people back around the club too, I think will help the players that are currently there, just to have some very strong Ocean Grey people back in the rooms is going to help the club. So we're really looking forward to it.
Which of those two did you play in, Merv?
95 and 2000. Oh, nice. I played in both.
How many of the eight did you play in?
I played in five. Oh, 7 grand finals for 5 victories, which was great. I love both the coaches. I mean, the thing about the 95 side too is we had a guy called Pat Burns, our captain. He was just such an inspirational footballer and leader. Our president was Peter Cullen,
yep,
which is probably the best football administrator I've ever come across. So he was just like a father figure to all of us, Pete. Paddy was the same, and Macca. So, you know, with those three guys at the top, we're always going to succeed, really.
A great little story was, obviously not 95, but the year before, Ocean Grove won their first premiership. Ocean Grove beat Port Arlington in that grand final, and the two captains were Pat Burns and his brother Mark.
Yes,
toe-to-toe
correct.
In that decider.
Gun players. Jesus,
both fantastic players.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, that Port Arlington side was a great side too.
They
won the flag in 92. And,
that's right, they did.
They were back in 94.
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
But we were lucky enough to get the chocolates that day, which is good.
I suspect if I said to you, Merv, when you won the flag in 2003, you still wouldn't have won one 22 years later. Most people would have said you've probably got to be committed to some sort of institution.
you would have. Yeah, it's been a long time. I actually said to one of the players a few weeks ago that I played in the last premiership at Ocean Grove, and I was 33 years of age. I'm nearly 55 when I won another one. I said it's just too long. So things have to change. We've got to get back on the winners list. So we're working hard to do it. Yeah, but you're right, Kingy. No one would ever thought we would have gone this long without a flag.
Do you, Merv, do you look back and go how extraordinary that time was when you can see the fact that it's taken 20 years in terms of to try and get back to the top of that hill? It was an extraordinary time in a club's history to be able to do what you did.
Oh, it was amazing. And I do reflect on it, and I often talk to Damien Clark about it, and Payne as well.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, we were just blessed. You hear about right place at right time, and that's some of it, but there was so much hard work put into it.
Yeah.
And like I said, the coaching and teaching of Brendan, who's the best football person I've ever come across. I love the man, and I always will. Paddy Burns, like I said, Pete Cullen. Then you throw in your Jeff Wall, Rod Jones, Jeff Cunningham, who backed those guys up. And just the quality of people. We had Dave Ramsey, Terry Demio, Ash Hurd, Paul Featherby, David Cole, who coached our under-18s that year. And then the talent, I'll just run through some of the talent. Alan Patterson, Lee Crichton, Dean Gills, Alan Richardson. Oh. Just the starters. Christian Lister, David McConville, Brett, Matt, Will McTaggart. And then we had the two little junkyard dogs, Dean Drake and Greg Hargrave. So the side was unbelievable. Unbelievably tough, unbelievably skilled, and unbelievably committed. And it was all through those three blokes. Brendan McCartney, Pat Burns, and Peter Cullen, just driving standard at the club.
To get Lee Crichton.
Well, I was going to say Lee Crichton.
Brett
McTaggart. Yeah.
Who'd won a Liston trophy in the VFA.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Was come off, I think, only having played in a premiership with Williamstown a couple of years before.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Like,
yeah, and he moves into the town in 94. Unbelievable, isn't it?
And
Patterson moves down from Bendigo, 1994.
And then
comes Christian Lister.
And weren't turned off by those shies and rooms you had.
No. Alan was. Alan didn't like him.
Yeah. They were, having been played there as a visiting player, they would actually be condemned. If council had have walked through, if the old Bellarine Shire had to walk through those, they would have gone, knock these down.
Yeah, no, terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the good news was, Kingy, was the hot water service to the away rooms is in our change rooms, so we could turn them off.
You did, that's right, you could too.
We could turn off the hot water.
That's very cruel,
I think it happened a couple of times.
The promotion relegation discussion, when Ocean Grove were quizzed about it at times, said, look, we're open to trying to play at the highest level we can. Your football numbers mean at the moment that you won't finish in the top two, but your netball side of things is very strong. Is there still a long goal of being in the Premier Football Division in Geelong, whether that's called the GFL, whatever, in years to come? Or are you happy to be part of the Bellarine fabric as you have been since it started back in 71?
I think at the moment we're really focused on establishing ourselves as a strong Bellarine club again, and really maintaining the history and the fabric of the Bellarine Footy League. I know there's a lot of talk about promotion relegation. and maybe down the track that it'll come to fruition. I'm not 100% sure, but at the moment, we're just really focused on making sure the Bellarine's the best it possibly can be, and we want to be a strong part of the Bellarine Footy League. Well, I love the history of our league. I love the history of our club within the league. So I just don't want to give all that away. Like, can you imagine Ocean Grove not playing Bowen Heads in the Battle of the Bridge? Mm. It's just such a big part of our community, Bowen Heads and Ocean Grove. We just can't give that away.
Now, in another sphere, the great man online was a great cricketer as well as a footballer.
I can attest to that. Yes. I watched him play many a fine innings.
Yes, well, I happened to play a couple of games of cricket with him down at the great Geelong Cricket Club. He was a great... We used to call him Swervin' Mervin. Wasn't normally for the stuff that he did on the field, though, can I say. He liked a time off the field too, didn't you? Didn't we, Merv?
Yeah, keep it clean, King.
Oh, hang on. Well, nothing to do with me. Doherty wants to go there.
No, we enjoyed a convivial here and there, didn't we?
No, we did. Yeah, it was great, Doc, wasn't it? It was just a fantastic... Well, that particular season, was it 96, 97?
Yeah, something like that. A long time ago.
But it was fantastic. And just the people in that team, but let's look about the footy before, but, you know, what makes the club or the team, just the quality of people in it. And that was fantastic. Dave Rainey, we had Docker, a heap of great young fellas running around as well.
I think was Arthur Fatt playing that season? I can't remember. Did Matty Aston play that year? I can't remember.
Matty was there. Phil Creswell, what a legend of cricket in Geelong.
Fabulous Phil.
You know, come off in four or five steps and just bowl line of length. They called McGrath the metronome. Creswell was the metronome. He was a legend.
This is turning into a sporties.
Oh, mate. Merv would be great at a sporties. He's got more stories than anybody. I love it.
Now, Merv, we're going to do this little... Well, you're not a player. A little profile on you.
Yes.
But before we do, I've got one question I need you to answer. Are you the best sports person to ever come out of Indented Head?
Well and truly.
Well, Kingy, look, to be honest, there's not much competition. So, I don't know, mate. But if you want to give me that crown, mate, I'm happy to take it.
Yeah, as you said, there's not much competition.
No.
Merv
no,
and the Flemington no. Straight, really. There's not much else, is there?
All right, we're going to do this little profile. Are you happy to do this with us, Merv?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I'll do my best.
Full name?
Gregory John Mervin.
Date of birth and where?
Here we go.
15 July. I won't tell the year. Well, long time ago.
Well, 55, so 1970.
Born in Geelong, mate. Back to the house.
Yes, right, there we go. Well done, Merv. Good work. Right.
Height?
The old Collingwood 6-footer, mate. Mm-hmm. Was that 5'11"?
Where did you play at Ocean Grove, before Ocean Grove?
I played St Leonard's and had a couple of years at Drysdale as well. Right.
Occupation?
I worked for Corrections Victoria.
Schools attended?
Where do I go? Irribee Primary School, which is in Werribee. I lived in Windervale for a few years there. Mm. And then came back here. I survived Werribee Tech for 1 year, which is awesome. And then I went on to Geelong East Technical School, which is a great school.
Right. And no longer there.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the Gordon occupies.
Oh, I passed, mate. I graduated.
Well done. Well done. What car are you driving?
Mitsubishi Outlander.
We know you played cricket. Did you play any other sports? And be very careful with this answer, Merv, because something's about to get raised that maybe you'd forgotten about.
Are we?
Yeah, right. Cricket and footy. I did 1 year of tennis at Marcus Hill.
Favourite food?
Pasta.
Favourite drink?
Bundaberg ginger beer, mate. Love it.
Favourite singer or band?
Pearl Jam.
He wasn't going to let me down. I knew he was going there.
He's going to Pearl.
Because Greg used to have the little goatee that reminded me of Jeff Ament, who was the bass player in Pearl Jam. And you put a little tea cozy on Merv's head back in the early 90s. Yeah. It was him, straight out of MTV Unplugged.
Oh, God.
Love it. favourite author?
I don't really have one. No favourites.
Oh,
any sporting biography, mate. I don't care who writes it.
Good. Yeah. Favourite TV show?
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Second of the episode.
Yes, Seinfeld.
Favourite movie?
Saving Private Ryan. Mm.
Favourite actor or actress?
Favourite actor, Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Favourite holiday spot?
Tassie. I love Tassie.
Beautiful. Biggest influence on career?
Mum and Dad and Brendan McCartney.
Most admired sports person?
Pat Burns.
Pre-game routine?
Jog a lap with Paddy Burns around the streets before we play a game of footy.
Biggest footy thrill?
Oh, big one.
Without doubt, the 95 grand final victory. Big, first premiership. Premiers and champions too, mate, that year. Undefeated.
Just
that'll remind. Come up a couple of times on Saturday.
Biggest footy biggest footy disappointment?
Losing the 98 grand final.
If you could invite...
Against Torquay.
All right. They had a good... George Arnold?
Yeah, Georgie.
Yeah, Georgie played good. Wayne was Tyken played amazing.
Ticket was... Ticket
was they were a great side, that 98 Torquay side. I'll bring it.
If you could invite three people in history to dinner, Merv, who would they be?
Winston Churchill.
Yeah, nice.
Eddie Vedder, of course.
Imagine those two together.
And the great E.J. Whitten. I'd love to speak to Ted.
Yeah.
And now it's 30 years yesterday since he did the lap.
Yeah.
Just a little segue there.
Yeah, I did see that.
K-Rock football Friday night before the Geelong-Brisbane game.
And funny, keep going.
I was going to say, we're going to play the... we've got the 5 minutes of K-Rock's broadcast of that lap that we're going to replay on Friday.
Awesome. And it's funny, like, about Ted... I still remember being a young fella, and my mum loved Geelong. We'd have on the old 3GL, and hearing Ted commentate footy on 3GL, I can still hear his voice doing it. Mm. So he was just an influence to a lot of people, wasn't he? He was all over footy. Man. He was football. Man. He was Mr. Football.
Yeah, he was. Merv, appreciate it's been great to get you on. I've been wanting to get you on all year, and it was good timing to get you on ahead of a massive day at Steel Line, Ray Menzies Oval.
Yes, thank you.
Well done. 1995 and 2000 Premiership reunions. I would love to be there myself just to listen to the stories of
can you imagine?
Two wonderful football teams.
Yeah.
Obviously we're elsewhere.
Yeah.
There's a sporties in that, though.
There is a massive sporties in that. Yeah. Merv, obviously on field, bit of work to do, but in good hands under your presidentship, and look forward to seeing how things evolve at the Grubbers in the rest of the season.
Thanks a lot, fellas, and I really appreciate you giving me some time. And I just think, Kingy, we need to have a segment where we talk about Docker's great bowling. I think that needs to be highlighted more.
You are an idiot.
He was amazing with the football in his hand. He swing it, those outswingers. They used to get people all the time.
You're an idiot.
He's brilliant.
It's been good to talk to you, Merv. I don't need his head getting any bigger.
Good on you, brother. Well done.
On you, boys. Good to chat. And all the best for the rest of the year.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.
Greg Mervin.
Legend. Legend of a bloke. Fantastic. Great.
Good to have a chat.
Good to be a teammate of him because he played all the fight. He played all the footy and just to be 5 minutes in a change room with him, he's a great bloke.
Greg and I both, so Greg and Indented Head Boy, I was a St Leonard's boy, so I saw Greg play a lot of footy, whether it be at Ocean Grove, St Leonard's or Drysdale, cricket at St Leonard's. I think he came in from...
He did. Him and Marcus Pamplin, the great Dickie.
Who is currently the curator at...
Ninja. At Blundstone Arena.
Very good curator.
Very good. Well,
I reckon...
We used to have another name for him, which wasn't as inviting as that.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air about that one.
No, that's...
If Marcus is listening, Merv will know what we used to call him. Yes.
Right. Let's have a look at this weekend's game.
Let's
start with the Ballerine. Queenscliff... He's flying at the moment. 6-0.
Premiership favourites.
And it started... big call. It started with Drysdale, and they've got the Hawks again this week.
Yes, well...
Do they make it another seventh straight win?
Yes, absolutely. We're on the Jammo bandwagon. Yes. Why not?
Do Ocean Grove get off the canvas against Anglesey?
They're going to need more than Neildy and Brendan Mack to be there, I suspect, at the moment, unfortunately. So I think the Seas might get them.
Port Arlington haven't won 5 games in a season since 2015. Do they beat Motawari at home? It'll all be on. Is Scotty Greenhoff right?
Well, draw.
Newcomb and Ammos. Unfortunately, Ammos. Newcomb, too many injuries.
They have plenty.
Ammos flying. And I'm not going out on a limb, but they'll finish minor premier.
Yes, they will. Well done. Yes.
And the Battle of the Breaks. Barwon Heads and Torquay.
I'm not sure.
Barwon Heads back in form.
They are.
No,
Damien,
at home. And one without Damien McMahon, too.
I know. Yeah, let's pick Bowen Heads.
Torquay. Lucas Anderson can't be too far away.
It's been a while.
It must be early July.
Yeah.
I reckon he'll be back maybe just before the bye.
Mm-hmm.
GDFNL, round 10, we have turned for home.
We have.
Bannockburn and the Belmont Lions. Well, they've reached a tipping point with their injuries at Belmont Lions.
They have. I don't know about Banno, though. No, Belmont. Just.
Yeah, the toss of the coin. Bannockburn at home.
Mm-hmm.
Anarchy in East Geelong. This is where we find out the Roos credentials.
We do. East Geelong.
Anarchy at home.
No, I won't take it older. You're picking
Anarchy. No, I'm not.
You are. Well, you will be if you're not.
Geelong Western Invalide.
The Hawks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Tricky one, though. Geelong West have made life difficult for teams this year.
Only they have. Game. They have, absolutely.
North Geelong and Werribee Centrals.
Magpies, bounce back.
Winchelsea, Bell Post Hill.
Oh, jeez.
Talking about injuries, suspected ACL. I think he's done it one before. Alex Gubbins.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, Bell Post Hill.
Yeah. Has Gabbo done one before?
Might have. Yeah, I think so.
And
that's not good.
Thompson, who just will not go away.
Right.
We'll beat Corio.
The master coach will beat Corio.
Yep.
Yes.
Dev Smith is...
will play enough to qualify for finals.
Yeah, but we'll be doing it sore.
Yeah, what's he done now?
He didn't pull up well from the first appearance.
That's what happens when you don't train for the game.
And he does have a golf career.
Yes, he does.
That he does need to worry about. And we are GFNL. Our match for broadcast, we are going to Lara and North Shore.
We are.
Somebody suggested it'd be a nil-all draw, which was a bit harsh. I actually said I reckon it'll be a bit of a shootout.
Yes, it probably will be. Well, who knows? Lara by a point.
South Bowen and St Mary's.
Interesting game, this. Very interesting game. This is an eight-point game for South Bowen, I suspect, against St Mary's, who also will be looking to bounce back. I don't know. St Mary's just...
I'd have to think the Mick Thompson Cup is up for grabs when St Albans play Leopold.
Oh, well,
I think
truly.
This is the only time they play each other this year.
Yep. Leopold.
Colac and Newtown is mouth-watering.
It's very much so. I think Colac at home.
No, Seb Ross, yes, as we alluded to earlier.
Mm-hmm. Luke Hillman going okay.
Well, he got sent back to the twos.
And then Wooshka.
Yeah, he's kicked 10 in the last three.
Yep.
Including five last week against good opposition.
Yep.
Bell Park and St Joseph's.
St Joey's.
Jack Buckley's got through two in the twos.
The Buklovic. Maybe the headband's back.
And on Sunday, Carroll Football at Live from 1 o'clock, Geelong West and Grovedale.
It's going to be a good game between those two. Grovedale have been pretty good in terms of consistency and pushing some teams higher up the ladder.
Well, they only, 11 points Leopold, 2 points Bell Park.
Yep, absolutely.
They're probably looking at three results. They lost to St Albans.
Yep.
They've pushed Leopold, they've pushed Bell Park. That's and it. You go, if they'd have flipped.
That's right.
Tom Gillett played twos last week.
Really?
Yeah.
K-Rock's on.
Yeah, so
he'll be back.
Interesting to see whether he is looked at selection tomorrow night.
Yeah, right.
Whether he needs one more after an injury. Westerwise tough at home. Oh, I don't know.
Not Grovedale. Sure.
Yeah. Be a good game. AFL Barwon Chair Michelle Gertz to join us in the pregame on Sunday.
Beautiful.
Marion Sponner to join us in the pregame. New York Shore President on Saturday.
We get the names, don't we?
Yeah, so a bit to be spoken about. I think Scotty Meddings, West Chair, is going to join us as well on Sunday. So plenty to talk about across the weekend. Any final thoughts before we go?
Lots of football on the weekend for us. Looking forward to that. Let's hope there's some good games.
Don't forget FM 88.5 at the grounds we are at too. You can listen to a narrow cast via your radio of GFNL action, whether that be at Bisnella Oval or West Oval. See ya.
Bye-bye.
That was Beyond the Boundary, a K-Rock podcast for footy freaks. Love all things footy. Head to krockfootball.com.au and we'll catch you next time.